scripture. I don't have a long presentation out of it. Might take a minute or two. But I want you to think carefully as we read it. I'll start off in the King James Version. It's one verse of scripture, but I have it in three translations. But there's the first one, Isaiah 26:3, King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. All right, New American Standard. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And the third one from the Amplified. You will keep, now he's talking about the Lord, you will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. Where did I hear those words? Did you not hear them? Right over there? They don't come here very often because of other things that happen in their lives, but today they came and confirmed this verse. But the issue has to do with the mind and our thought life. Your mind can talk you out of something just like that. And reasoning is horrible when you try to put it against the Word of God. You'll either how can I reasonably be in agreement with that? But maybe not 100% yet because I'm not there yet. And your mind will just talk you out of things. Wake up in the middle of the night. Why did I wake up? Well, I don't know, so I could think about this about tomorrow. Then you wake up, tomorrow comes, and I don't even know why I stayed awake last night. Tomorrow came and went without me. And so will yours. You have nothing to do with tomorrow. We have today. And so, perfect peace, that means peace that's complete, peace that's real, peace that's not fleeting when everything's going all right, peace when things aren't going so great, and that peace is still there. But it starts with the thought life even, because our minds, I always looked at it like this, our minds have always been little gods. And then we got saved, and now the mind has to answer to a higher authority, and it doesn't like that. And that's why it's so important for us to renew our minds to the Word, so that the thought life will line up with the Word and come in agreement with it, because really, we're basically agreeing with what God has already said. So now you have two. You have the Father and you in agreement, and that establishes His Word. It establishes it inside of you, so that your thoughts won't wander so much. It takes discipline sometimes because some thoughts are rather entertaining. Some thoughts can take you down a bad road. And some thoughts can quickly be extinguished if they're not edifying to you or the Lord. But you can do something about it. Cast them down in Jesus' name. Let Jesus become the prisoner of bad thoughts, imaginations, and high things that exalt himself against the knowledge of God. Cast them down. And that peace is the God kind of peace, because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, too. We studied those downstairs for a long time. And it's been made available to us. It's on the inside of us. But sometimes you have to die a little bit for the fruit to come out, because reasoning and your mind and thoughts will oftentimes quench what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. Guard your minds. But this says, you will, mean God will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast. If you're not steadfast, James had this interesting little thing. It has to do with wavering. And he said, if you're into wavering, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Because just when you got your mind partially made up and God starts bringing that to pass, suddenly you change your mind and God says, you just messed up my plan. I had a plan for you today. Now, do you want to come back to that original thought so I can continue? Or shall we go down the road another way? And that's how quick, if we don't really know what to do with our thoughts, you can get into fear, worry, anxiety, stress. All of those things start with thoughts. The enemy has access to our minds as well, but he doesn't control the outcome. God has access to your mind, and he imparts things to you. But you have the final outcome. You can process it and do what you will with it. But ultimately, the decision is up to us. What are we going to do with the data that was just uploaded? And so, constant peace. Not just a little bit. Not just for now. How many times have you heard me say, as we're ready to dismiss and we all go our way, and I say, keep your peace? This is what I'm talking about. It's beautiful in here, but it needs to go home with us. So keep it. You know what it is when you experience it, but make sure it goes home with you and it stays with you all during the week. His mind is steadfast. That means always pursuing. Focused on the Lord. Inclination. Well, I'm inclined to think this way today, but tomorrow maybe I'll be inclined to think another way. No. No, we need to allow our minds to be renewed to the Word, because that's going to help us to have a quality of life that we're not bound and drawn and scattered by random thoughts all day that run through our minds. Eventually, we'll come to that place where things settle down and get much more consistent in your faith walk. And even Carol, it was a joy to hear you say those words, because I've often thought about how it's not always easy to say something like that, because you're not a person that usually would. But you've had a wonderful revelation, and that's going to change the whole quality and outlook of your life from then forward. It's going to be awesome and amazing, and take you to that place and keep you in that victory. Don't ever let the enemy talk you out of it. You know what happened to our friends Ian and Jill? They went back and were pounded on every go. God doesn't heal. It's not his will to heal. And they had to leave that dead church. They had to leave to keep her healing, because they were trying to talk her out of it. God doesn't do those things. You know what the Lord did for you. You all know what the Lord has done for you. But keeping that peace is really important, because if you can start entertaining thoughts like that, it will keep your hoper from being filled. So, short word, but yet it's to the point. And before you lovingly remind me that I forgot the missions offering, I didn't. Jesse, did I do a good thing?
You did a good job. Where is he?
There he is. I needed a confirmation. And later when Wayne does his presentation, I'm so looking forward to that, but this helps. And we all know that. I don't know, there's never been an offering like this where there's such a joy in the house about it. It's a wonderful thing to have somebody tell the pastor that he forgot the offering, you know, because then the pallbearers come out, you know, with their long pole and no smiles. This we do with joy, because it's going to be one of us that's going to go. Could be one of you. So you're sowing to your missions trip. And Wayne is going to be gracefully on his way next month. So let's help the next person go. Father, we just thank you today for our missions offering, and We thank you for how many lives have actually been touched by this, not only to buy a passport or travel other travel documents and plane tickets, but Father, what a wonderful way to bless our brothers and sisters should you call one or more of them to go as well. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A praise report about this. And don't let it affect your giving. But there's nearly $8,000 in this missions fund that you and us, all of us contribute to that. And we just save it over the course of time and just waiting for the Lord to inspire somebody to go. And last year, Wayne had to cancel out. Some things happened and he couldn't go. But God made a way this year. And it was wonderful to be able to pay for his plane tickets. And I say that not as a boast, but as an encouragement of what a simple little thing and what God can do with small things. Because when God gets a hold of it, it's no longer small. So we just thank him. And before Huggy break, Barbara asked me, I believe it was Wednesday, she had some words to share about communion. And so since we're having communion, I thought, oh, goody, I'm off the hook. She can do it. Because that's how this fellowship works. If you've got a word in your heart and you want to continue to be a part of that, there are so many opportunities here. So, Barbara, I don't know if you want to use the microphone and come up front. And I'll go sit down here and try to be quiet. And let you share the word that you brought, and then we'll have it.